Well, praise the Lord, everyone. We are going to be started in just a moment here, but I thought we'd have a time of prayer before we get started. I think Doug wanted some prayer, so if you'd like to come up. And if there's anybody else who'd like prayer also, we will pray for you as well. Glory to God. I'm going to go ahead and open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this opportunity to gather in Thy name. We thank Thee that Thou hast brought us here this morning. We ask, O God, that Thou wast abide over this entire service. We ask, O God, that Thy presence, Thy Holy Ghost, would be here upon each and every one of us. We ask, O God, that Thy Spirit would move, that we would feel Thy presence, that we would know that Thou art here, right here with us, even as Thou hast promised. And we ask, O God, that Thou wast help us and inspire us to truly worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it is wonderful to see all of you here this morning. I know most of us weren't able to make it last week because of the weather. It was quite a storm going on out there, and I am so thankful that we are here this morning. You know, my wife, she came into the bedroom on Tuesday. I was doing some reading, and she said to me, "I can't believe it." She was looking at the weather, and she said, "There's going to be another storm." on Saturday and Sunday, 4 to 8 inches. That's worse than it was this previous week. And, you know, well, I thought, well, that's not going to do. So I started praying right away. And the next day, they completely changed the weather forecast. So praise the Lord, we're here today. Praise the Lord. Anyway, let's sing some songs. Praise the Lord. Why don't we start with number 255, Jesus Loves Even Me. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget Him and wander away, still He doth love me wherever I stray. Back to His dear loving arms would I flee, when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there is only one song I can sing, when in His beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it is a wonder that Jesus loves us, but He truly does, even though we don't deserve it. Glory to God. Why don't we sing number 3, I Love to Tell the Story. Story. Wonderful story that is. Glory to God. Never get tired of telling that one. That's why we gather here every Sunday. Glory to God. Let's sing number 163, I Need Thee Every Hour, because we truly do need Him every hour of every day. Every hour.
power, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. In joy or pain, come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Praise the Lord.
We do need him so much, and thankfully we know that he has promised he would never leave us. Praise the Lord. And you know, I have good news today. Jesus saves. Why don't we sing number 198? Jesus saves. Praise the Lord. Joyful note, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell the sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing the islands of the sea, echo back the ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Life is death and endless life. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom when the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph for the tomb. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus.
Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Praise the Lord.
God. Well, that's good news. That's the gospel. Jesus saves. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We know these funds belong to thee for thy purpose, for thy glory. And we thank thee that thou hast enabled us to be here, that thou hast given us this place where we can come together and worship thee and study thy word. We ask, O God, that thou hast given us thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for thy purposes. And we ask, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here this morning and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word, and I was thinking, why not go to number 222, that city where the Lamb is the light. Country far beyond the starry sky. There's a city where there never comes a night. If we're faithful, we shall go there by and by. 'Tis the city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Here we have our days of sunshine, but we know that the sun which shines upon us now so bright will be changed to clouds and rain until we go to the city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. There the flowers bloom forever, and the day shall be one eternal day without a night. And our tears shall be forever wiped away. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night.
I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Here we have our disappointments all the while, and our fondest hopes but meet with bitter blight. Though by night we weep, the morning brings a smile. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Then let sunlight fade, let twilight bring its gloom. Not a shadow can my blissful soul affright, for I know that up in heaven there is room. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I can't wait to get there. It's going to be far better than anything we have down here, I'll tell you that. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, it is time to get started in the Word. And I'm excited about that. We are going to be continuing our study in Genesis last Sunday because of the weather. I know most of you couldn't get here, and we certainly missed all of you very much, and we love all of you, and we're always happy to see you, and we're glad when you're here. Last week was kind of an odd Sunday, and I thought last week, since most of you weren't here, instead of continuing our Genesis series last week, we would go and study some miracles of Jesus, and that, of course, is a wonderful thing to do as well. We had a good time with that. And you know, with that thought in mind, I found a news story the other day, and I just want to read this really quick because I think it's pretty amazing. And this isn't some far-flung news source. This is actually from USA Today. And the headline on it is, Mom Prays, Dead Son Comes Back to Life. According to the story, it says, a Missouri mother is saying the power of prayer brought her son back to life after he was dead for 45 minutes. But the teen didn't just survive the accident, he's thriving. He was dead for 45 minutes. That's what the doctors who treated 14-year-old John Smith said after paramedics rescued the teen who spent 15 minutes submerged in an icy lake. Dr. Kent Sutterer and his team performed CPR on John for 27 minutes with no success. The question was raised, how long should they continue? His mother then came into the room and started praying loudly. What happened next defies explanation. I don't remember what all I said, recalls John's mother, Joyce Smith, but I remember, Holy God, please send your Holy Spirit to save my son. I want my son. Please save him, she said. They hadn't been getting a pulse at that time, so all of a sudden I heard them saying, we got a pulse. We got a pulse. His heart restarted.
Doctors were worried how much brain function he would have, but at this point it doesn't seem like there will be a problem. He's recovering, walking, and getting physical therapy. Dr. Garrett said it's a bona fide miracle. Praise the Lord. So I thought I'd just go ahead and read that story because God still heals today. And we looked at a lot of the miracles of Jesus last week, and I thought it would be fitting to just read that to you all. And that's a wonderful thing. You know, I like to see headlines like that in the mainstream newspapers. Mom prays dead son comes back to life. You know, there's probably a lot of people who don't like to see that, but praise the Lord. We are going to continue our study in the book of Genesis, and this will be part 5 of this series, which I'm calling In the Beginning. We will be starting in Genesis chapter 12, but before I do anything, I need to pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee that thou hast brought us here this morning. We thank thee that thou hast given us thy holy word. And we ask, O God, that thy spirit, thy Holy Ghost, would be upon each and every one of us as we study thy word. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst open our hearts, that thou wouldst give us the ability to understand and comprehend what we are reading. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst move upon us greatly with thy spirit and fill us with thy power. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to be starting in Genesis chapter 12, continuing on our series, and we're going to be learning about a man named Abram today. And of course, we know that Abram is a very important figure in biblical history and even in our faith, because from him came forth the Israelites and so forth, and that was a miracle too. They conceived a son in very old age. His wife was very old when she had Isaac, and you know, from that, a mighty nation came forth. But more importantly than all of that, our Savior came forth. Praise the Lord. So we are going to be looking at Genesis chapter 12 right now. And in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it tells us, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." So God is telling this man, get up and go. He didn't know where he was going, but God told him, you'll know when you get there. Praise the Lord. But he was obedient, and of course, that took great faith. And we know that because Abram was so faithful, and because he obeyed the Lord, because he believed God, that was counted to him for righteousness. Praise the Lord. And, you know, we should all just believe God. When he tells us something, we should believe it, even if it seems hard to believe, because there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And sometimes he's going to tell us to do things that sound mighty strange. And here we see him telling Abram to just get up and go. And you know what? He did it. Most people probably wouldn't do that, but he did. Verse 2 tells us, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will curse them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And that's an important verse, because it tells us that all families of the earth shall be blessed through Abraham. You know, it wasn't just the Jewish people, it wasn't just the Israelites who were blessed. It says all families of the earth shall be blessed, and how that happened is the Lord Jesus Christ came forth. Many, 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 many years later from the point we're reading here, but he came forth, our Savior, and he did bless the families of this earth. He did bless us. And that is how we were all blessed through Jesus Christ. Verse 4, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." If you can imagine, he was 75 years old when he got up and went. That's, you know, getting up there a little bit. And, you know, most people wouldn't want to go on an adventure like this without even knowing where they're going. But he obeyed. Praise the Lord, and that's a wonderful thing. He just believed the Lord. Verse 5, "And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So they gathered up all their belongings, all their possessions, his wife and his nephew Lot, and they went with him, and God was going to do many wonderful and mighty things through this family. Verse 6, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. So we see he's continuing on with his journey in obedience to the Lord. He didn't know where he was going, but that was all right because the Lord was leading him. And verse 10 tells us he had to go down to Egypt because there was a famine in the land. Verse 10 tells us, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now, Abram was a righteous man, the scriptures tell us, and he was the friend of God. But even he sometimes did things that he shouldn't have done. And we're going to see that right here in this chapter. Verse 11 tells us, and it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. So Abram still had some things to learn. He shouldn't have had that fear in his heart, because the Lord was with him, but he did, and sometimes we feel fearful and we shouldn't. We should learn to trust the Lord, and we're going to see here that Abram does indeed make a mistake and tells us in verse 13, say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And you know, that wasn't strictly a lie. Sarai was his half-sister. But how many times do people say something that isn't strictly a lie, meaning to deceive people? You know, they don't tell the whole truth. And frankly, that's just about as bad as lying, if the intent is to deceive. So we see here, he's trying to, well, he was fearful, actually, that he would be killed because his wife was so beautiful. Verse 14, and it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that she was fair. That she was very fair, actually, it says. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. You know, that was a bad move on Abram's part. I mean, what did he think was going to happen? Verse 16 tells us, and the Lord was merciful, though he did protect them. And sometimes even when we do foolish things, he still protects us, and we have so much to be thankful for in that regard. Verse 16 tells us, and he entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen, and he asses, and men servants, and maid servants, and she asses, and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? So Pharaoh figured it out eventually. It doesn't say specifically how, but perhaps the Lord revealed that to him in some manner. But he did figure it out. And, you know, Pharaoh, he wasn't allowed to touch her because that was Abram's wife. So praise the Lord for that. God protected her. Why saidest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. And they would continue on their journey, going to that place where the Lord would bring them. They didn't know where they were going, but they were just obedient to the Lord, and they let the Lord lead them. Praise the Lord, and we need to do the same thing. In chapter 13, verse 1, it tells us, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai." So the Lord was blessing Abram mightily, and he was blessing Lot also, and they were given many, many things. They had a lot of possessions, and it actually became a bit of a problem. There wasn't room for both of them. We're going to read about this now in chapter 13. "Unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord." So he went back to that place where he had made that altar before and called on the name of the Lord. And he called on the name of the Lord here again. And praise the Lord, we do need to call on the name of the Lord each and every day. Praise the Lord. Verse 5, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together." They had so much stuff that they couldn't live together. You know, some of it would get mixed up, their cattle and their herds and so forth, and then their servants would be fighting, "No, that's ours, no, that's ours," and all kinds of problems and strife and so forth. So it tells us in verse 7, "And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren, for we be brethren." I wasn't that nice. Abram's attitude there is very commendable. He just wanted to keep the peace in the family. They were brethren, and he didn't want there to be any strife. So he told them, there's no need for strife. There's no need for fighting. Verse 9, "Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." So he's telling Lot, you get first choice. You can go wherever you want, and I will go the other way, and we will live in separate spots. There won't be this conflict anymore. And that was very nice of Abram to do. That was very good of him. And verse 10 tells us, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other." Now Lot, he had first pick, and he could have gone anywhere. There was lots of space available. But he did something foolish. He chose to pitch his tent towards Sodom. And of course we know that Sodom was a very, very exceedingly wicked city. There were a lot of problems in Sodom. And we know that homosexuality, for one thing, was very rampant there. And there were a lot of problems. But it tells us in verse 12, "Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom." And you'll notice, as we continue on here in Genesis, later on when we read, he no longer had his tent pitched toward Sodom. He was in Sodom. And you know, sometimes that happens to people. They just pitch their tent, so to speak, towards things they shouldn't, and before you know it, they're right there with the evildoers, participating in things they shouldn't participate in. So we need to be very careful where we pitch our tent, so to speak. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. They were very, very wicked. In fact, they were so wicked that we're going to read about this later on in this book, how God destroyed the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, the city that was nearby to Sodom. "And the Lord said unto Abram, After that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, To thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. So we see here God is making a promise to Abram to multiply his seed mightily. And of course, the most important thing of all of that is that Jesus would come forth from that very seed. Verse 17 tells us, "Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we see here that Abram is being obedient to the Lord. He's going on a journey. He doesn't know where he's going, but he's just obeying the Lord and letting him lead. And, you know, that was counted to him for righteousness because he believed the Lord. And it tells us here in the 13th chapter that his seed would be multiplied beyond numbers that could be counted. And you know what? We too are Abraham's seed by faith. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to Galatians chapter 3? We'll see how this all ties in. In Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he's going to tell us how we, the believers today, are the children of Abraham through faith. And by extension, the children of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read chapter 3, verse 1 of Galatians. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Now there was some conflict here with these Galatian Christians. They believed, obviously, that they needed to keep the law. And that had the Lord Jesus Christ had fulfilled that law, because no man could ever keep it perfectly except him. And we know that the just live by faith. And that's what the Apostle Paul is going to tell us right here in this chapter. Verse 3, are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? You see, the law of the old covenant pertained to the flesh. There were all these fleshly laws they had to keep, but we live in the Spirit now. Praise the Lord. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And we know that we are saved through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not by our own works. There's nothing we could do to save ourselves. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Verse 6 tells us, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Praise the Lord, because Abraham just believed God. Everything God told him, he just believed without doubting. That was counted to him for righteousness. And you know what? If you will do the same thing, it will be counted to you for righteousness also. You know, people, they might look back at Genesis and read those stories about Abraham, and they think, wow, he was so close to the Lord. He was the friend of God. They talked to each other. They had a really amazing relationship. And people might think, I wish I could have that too. I'm here to tell you today that you can. You can also be the friend of God. In fact, Jesus Christ called his disciples his friends, and we are his friends also, even though he is also our Savior. He is our friend. Praise the Lord. We can have that close relationship with Jesus, just as Abraham did. Verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. You see, when Abraham lived, the law of the old covenant hadn't even been established yet. So obviously he wasn't saved by the law. He was saved by his faith in God. Praise the Lord, and that's how we are saved also. Praise the Lord. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Oh, I think I forgot to read verse 8, so I'm going to do that now. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And if you'll remember, we just looked at that in Genesis chapter 12. All nations were blessed. How were they blessed? Through the Lord Jesus. And Paul is going to bring that out here in chapter 3 of Galatians. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And you know, they tried to keep the law, but they couldn't do it. No one could keep it perfectly until the Lord Jesus came along and he fulfilled that law. He did what we couldn't do, what the human race couldn't do. And he kept it perfectly. He fulfilled that law. And because of that, we are now justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad we don't have to follow a lot of those old covenant laws and offer sacrifices all the time and so forth? I sure am glad we don't have to do that. Verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Praise the Lord. We're not under that old law. We live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He took that curse. And he bore the consequences of it. He hung on that cross for us so we would no longer be under that curse. And because he did that for us, we can have everlasting life. Praise the Lord. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Look at that. That same blessing that Abraham had, it can come upon us too, the Gentiles. Through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. That's exciting. That's good news. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Praise the Lord, we know that Jesus Christ came forth from the seed of Abraham many, many, many years later, and we are the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by extension we are also the seed of Abraham by faith. Verse 17, in this I say that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. In other words, he's saying that that law that came later, it could not disannul the promises given to Abraham. Abraham lived under those promises of God. He wasn't under that law. That law didn't even exist yet. That came later. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. And you know, when you look at the Old Testament, when Genesis in particular, we see people, even righteous people, even people who God loved dearly, they made a lot of mistakes. They did a lot of foolish things. It seems like people were always getting into mischief and getting into trouble. And it seems like in the book of Genesis, someone was always trying to pull something on someone else. And you know what? God saw that, and I think he looked down and said, you know what? You need some rules. And so that law came forth. It was added because of transgressions. He gave them that law because they needed to learn to be obedient. So he gave that to the children of Israel because they had trouble obeying, and sometimes, you know, parents have to do that. Lay down the law, make some rules. And I believe that's what the Lord did with the children of Israel. That's why he gave them that law. And of course, we know that there are many rules in there, and a lot of those we don't have to keep anymore. And, you know, it's all right to eat pork if you want to. I know some people do, some people don't, but if you want to, that's fine. It's not a sin. But, you know, when you think about that, I believe the reason God instructed the Israelites not to eat pork back then, it was for their own good. They didn't know how to prepare it properly. And, You can get sick or even die if you eat poorly prepared pork. So I believe, you know, a lot of those rules and so forth, God gave them to the children of Israel for their own good. But they needed some structure, they needed some rules. It tells us in verse 19, it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. And we know that Jesus is our mediator. And you can't know God without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one mediator between God and men, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Praise the Lord. And we believe. And we have that promise by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterward be revealed. And you know, it's kind of interesting when you stop and think about that too, because the Israelites of the Old Testament, a lot of them, they didn't have much faith. You know, they had trouble believing God. They would, even after he would do a mighty miracle, even after he helped them cross the Red Sea, rolled back the waters, they were in the wilderness, God had worked a mighty miracle, and they didn't believe he'd do another one. They were whining and murmuring and complaining and saying, you know, God brought us out here to die. Now, why would he do that? There's no reason to think he would do that. He helped them cross the Red Sea, and they should have known that there was nothing too hard for the Lord, and yet they had no faith. And that was a problem all throughout the Old Testament in Israel. In fact, they would go back and forth from obeying the Lord and being disobedient. They would obey the Lord and God would bless them, and then they'd get caught up in the customs and traditions of the people around them, and they'd fall into sin, and then God would judge them, and they would repent, and then God would bless them again after the repentance. It was quite the cycle. Praise the Lord that the Lord Jesus Christ came along to break that cycle. Praise the Lord. Verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. We are the children of God by faith. Praise the Lord. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And we know that to be true when we're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When we go down in the water, the Lord Jesus Christ is in that water with us. And we come up new creatures in Christ Jesus. We put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Well, praise the Lord for that too. And of course, you know, there are a lot of people at this time who didn't want to believe this, particularly the Jewish people. They like to think of themselves as being very special because of their heritage and so forth, that they were above everyone else. But we see here that that is not the case. In the kingdom of God, no one is saved by their race, by their gender, by their status as a bond person or a free person. And, you know, people might think, well, that doesn't really apply to today. Aren't we all free? Well, kind of. You know, a free person is one who gets to enjoy the fruit of your labor. And how much of the fruit of your labor do you actually get to enjoy in this country? And I think we're all mindful of that right now, it being tax season and all. And yeah, it's really something. I filed my taxes the other day, and they hit me with that Obamacare penalty. And, you know, they start out small, but if I don't have health insurance, for next year, well, I guess for this year, but next year when I file my taxes again, if I don't have health insurance, they're going to fine me again, and that fine is going to be almost $1,000. So, yeah, it's quite a burden, but we know that that tends to be the way things are in this world. So, you know, bond nor free, I guess you could say that some of us, well, we're not entirely free in this country because we really don't get to enjoy all the fruit of our labors. And in fact, I think if you added up all the taxes we have to pay, it would be well over 50%. Not just the federal and the state taxes, but you've got the sales taxes, the county taxes, all kinds of other taxes we have to pay. But, you know, that's all right. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, I guess. But it tells us in verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Praise the Lord. So we see here that that seed God was talking about back in Genesis, that included not only the natural Israel, but that also includes us. Praise the Lord. We are the seed of Abraham through the Lord Jesus, through faith. Glory to God. Well, why don't we go back to Genesis, and we'll continue on in chapter 14. And there was a lot of strife in the land at this time. There were a lot of kingdoms in place, and they were fighting with each other, as we'll read. And this will be a fun chapter. You don't really see these names anymore. Genesis 14, verse 1 tells us, "And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Kedar Laomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zeboiim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Kedar Laomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled." Yeah, that's just the name you don't see anymore. Kedar Laomer. It's a fun one to pronounce. I'm not even entirely sure I'm saying it correctly, but I'm doing the best I can. Verse 5, "And in the 14th year came Kedar Laomer and the kings that were with him, and smote the Rephaim in Ashtaroth, Carnaim, and the Zuzim in Ham, and the Emim in Shava, Kiriathaim, and the Horites in their Mount Seir, unto El Paran, which is by the wilderness." So we see here that these people all around this region, they served this king, Kedar Laomer, for 12 years, but they got tired of that after a while, and in the 13th year they rebelled. And in the 14th year, strife broke out in this region of the world. Verse 7, I'll start with verse 6 here. "And the Horites in their mounts here unto El Paran, which is by the wilderness, and they returned and came to En Mishpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites that dwelt in Hazon Tamar. And there went out the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboiim, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar. And they joined battle with them in the vale of Siddim." So there's all this battle breaking out. And unfortunately, because Lot had pitched his tent towards Sodom, he was going to be swallowed up in this battle. He was going to be caught up in it. And, you know, that was a mistake on his part. If he hadn't done that, he wouldn't have found himself in this mess. "With Kedar Laomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, 4 kings with 5. And the vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain." So there's all kinds of battles going on here, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah found themselves in trouble. In fact, they ended up in slime pits. Well, it's actually probably where they deserve to be. Verse 11, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. So we see Lot got caught up in this battle, and he was taken captive. And, you know, under normal circumstances, Abram wouldn't have done anything to help this evil king of Sodom. But because his nephew, which he often refers to as his brother, because nephew was caught up in the battle, Abram would have to go and rescue him. Verse 13, and there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. That wasn't a huge military by any stretch, 318 that he had trained and armed. He took his trained servants and they went out and they waged battle. And you know what? They were victorious because the Lord helped them. Praise the Lord. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. So praise the Lord. The Lord was gracious and merciful, and he helped Abram to win this battle with only 318 servants. Verse 17 tells us, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And of course we know that the word dale there refers to a valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was priest of the Most High God. You know, it's kind of amazing that amid all the evil around them going on in this land, there was a righteous king of Salem who was a priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Praise the Lord. I just need to flip the page here. Alright. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. So after that blessing, Abram went ahead and gave tithes to King Melchizedek. And Melchizedek is actually an important figure in the scriptures too. You know, he's not talked about a lot here, but it does tell us later if you read the book of Hebrews that Jesus Christ was a priest also after the order of Melchizedek. So that plays an important role in that too. You know, people, they look at Jesus and they say, well, he can't be a priest because he wasn't a Levite, but he was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And if you study the book of Hebrews, it'll bear that out. Perhaps we will do that one of these days. Praise the Lord. Verse 21, and the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. So the king of Sodom, as a reward, he told Abram, you know, you can keep all the goods, all the things all the possessions that you captured. You can keep all of that. Just give me the persons, his people. He wanted them back. But Abram wasn't going to take it because this king of Sodom was a wicked man and he didn't want anything from him. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. And he probably would have, this evil king of Sodom. But it was God who was blessing Abram, not the king of Sodom. And Abram didn't want anything that this man had. And you know, we should behave the same way. We should make sure that we don't take things that are ill-gotten gains from evil people. You know, I don't go out and play the lottery. And I, you know, if someone came in here and they said, well, I won the lottery and we want to give you a bunch of money, I wouldn't take it. Because I don't believe in gambling. And you know, if you had a a very wealthy man come in here, maybe Bill Gates, for example, and he wanted to give us a bunch of money, I wouldn't take it. Because I don't want him to say, well, we have made Truth Tabernacle rich. I wouldn't want that. Our blessings come from the Lord. And we know a lot of those guys out there, the elite class, they're very evil and wicked men, pulling all kinds of nonsense, so I wouldn't take anything from them. And that's a good example we see here that Abram had set. He said he wouldn't take anything from this king of Sodom. Verse 24, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. So in other words, he's saying, I don't want anything from you, but these guys, if they want your stuff, you can go ahead and let them take it. But we see here that, Abram, he was a righteous man, and he was being obedient to the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing. I want to go to one last place in Scripture before we close for the day. Hebrews chapter 11. We've been there before in this series, but it talks a lot about Abraham and his faith, and there's so much we can learn from that. And we know that because of his faith, it was counted to him for righteousness. So I just want to go here briefly. And we know that Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter. It goes through many of the people we read about in the Bible. It lists a lot of them, and it tells us of their great faith and their righteous deeds and how they were blessed because of their faith. And it is inspiring. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Praise the Lord, we know that God framed this world. The word of God brought this entire universe forth. He didn't need evolution to do that, and we look at that at the beginning of Genesis. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Praise the Lord, he was a righteous man. God loved him so much that he just took him home early. He never saw death. Glory to God, and we should all aspire to be that way. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, if we don't have faith, we can't please God. It's literally impossible. There's no way you can please the Lord if you do not have faith. And that all starts believing that he is. And we certainly believe that. We know he's real. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We read about that too, his great faith and obedience to the Lord. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. He just believed God, and we looked at that starting in the 12th chapter of Genesis. He was obedient to the Lord. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, God told him to go out on this journey, and he said, you'll know when you get there. But he journeyed all over this earth, and he never found that place on this earth. But he's there now. He has found it. That city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And you know, we sang about that city earlier today. It's that city where the Lamb is the light. Praise the Lord. And we are going to go there also, if we're obedient to the Lord, if we obey his commandments. Verse 11, through faith, Also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. And we're going to be reading about that in the coming weeks. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. That entire nation was born of a miracle because Sarah conceived in her old age when she shouldn't have been able to do so. But anything is possible with the Lord. There's nothing too hard for him. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They believed those promises, and they have received those promises, and they are in that city now, that wonderful city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. They didn't quite fit in, and that's okay. We're strangers and pilgrims too. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. They could have came back to that country they left from, but they had no desire to do that. They were seeking that city of God. Praise the Lord. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Praise the Lord. And we are looking forward to getting to that city. There's only one way to do it, and that is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to God. Praise the Lord. Well, we will continue our study in Genesis next week, Lord willing, if the weather is cooperative, and I'm praying it will be. Praise the Lord. I know, last week it was pretty bad, but thankfully we were all able to gather here today, and I'm so glad to see all of you, and praise the Lord, we're going to have a dinner after the service also. But I'm going to go ahead and pray right now, and I thank the Lord for the book of Genesis and Galatians and Hebrews and the many things he taught us in his word. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for the lessons thou hast taught us in thy scriptures. We thank thee for the great faith that thou hast given us. We thank thee for our spiritual ancestors, such as Abraham and their great faith. And we thank thee for the righteous seed that was brought forth, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast won the victory for us, that we might be saved through faith also. And we ask, O God, that thou wouldst be with us. In these days ahead, we ask, O God, that thy strength would be upon us, that thy Holy Ghost would be upon us. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst be with us and help us as we go forth. And we ask that these words we have read would not leave us. We ask that they would stick with us, that they would stay with us, that we would always be mindful of thee. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing a chorus. Why don't we go ahead and sing number 168 in the chorus book, I Believe God.
I believe God, I believe God, that it will be just as he said. Trust and obey, believe him and say, I believe God. If you need salvation now, well, the Holy Ghost is here right now. Just trust and obey, believe him and say, I believe God. I believe God, I believe God, that it will be just as he said. Trust and obey, believe him and say, I believe God. If you need salvation now, well, the Holy Ghost is here right now. Just trust and obey, believe him and say, I believe God.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Believe him today. You're dismissed unto prayer. Oh,
Thank you.